Turn your Bibles, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Read it together. 1, 2, go. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. There is a method to the message. You can learn spiritual things. Say that with me. Say, I can learn spiritual things. And you see, this is particularly instructive because in this part of the world, when we see people who are deep in the things of the spirit, subconsciously, we just relegate them. And we conclude that they have and they see what they are seeing and what they have because they have special gifts. And it may seem like a compliment, but also subconsciously, we exonerate ourselves from the responsibility of learning. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Learning to see what they see and do what they do. But in the Bible, consistently, we see a different behavior. What kind of mentality did Peter have to see someone walk on water and think he can do it too? That's something to learn. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, you see someone walk on water and then your default response is to say, I want to join you. That inquisitive spiritual nature is the secret behind everyone who has grown spiritually. Instead of just relegating it to special gifts and generational spiritual talents, teach us to pray. There is a system, there is a curriculum, a method to the message. Spiritual things are systematic. That's why they can be passed on from generation to generation. Because like a program, if you do the same thing, you will get the same result. Say loud amen. Amen. And to this, Jesus didn't respond and say, no, the things of the spirit are mysterious. No, he actually did teach them to pray. So now, what does that say to you? You can learn to pray. You can learn. If you don't have a prayer life, you don't have to remain where you are. You can learn. You can do better. Not the person by your side for me. Say you can do better. You can do better. You're doing okay maybe, but you can do better. You dey fear. Not the person. I'm watching you. You say you can do better. Listen, the person by your side may need it. What you just did might be a word of knowledge. You can do better. Hallelujah. That they watched Jesus pray and they said, sir, we want to pray like you. We want to learn to pray like you. And he actually did teach them. Because there really is a school of the spirit. What are the similarities between your regular secular education and the school of the spirit? I'll give you just two amongst many. Number one, just the same way teachers teach according to the level of the understanding of the people, so also God relates with us according to the level of our understanding. Are you aware? Come on, I said, are you aware? I've said it before. There was a time when I was learning elementary mathematics. You might have heard teachers tell toddlers or smaller children, you cannot separate, you cannot subtract 7 from 3. You can only subtract smaller numbers from bigger numbers. Haven't you heard people teach like that? But that is true for a certain level, because the level of communication has to be different. And so if you say 7 minus 4 and they don't know, They say, if you have 7 biscuits and I take 4, how many would you have left? The child will suddenly get it because the child likes biscuits. It's relatable. The same way God deals with us based on the level of our understanding. You know, one text still gets my attention till date. It's a text, you know, about the Roman centurion. You know, just like Jesus did to everybody. When it was time to pray for his servant, he said, let's go to your house. And he said, I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. Just speak the word. I know you don't have to come to my house. My God. And Jesus knew that too. So all the time he was going from house to house, I'm not talking about this age where there's Uber. Going about is a lot of work, and he did not have to. Why did he go about? Because of the level of faith and understanding of the people. That means Jesus would have been able to do more if the people had more understanding. Can you imagine that? So now I'm wondering, how much more can we do, can we achieve if we know more? How much more? All those long journeys, no flights, many of them were by foot. Meaning Jesus would have been able to do 10 times more if the people understood better. Can you imagine that? But he treats us according to the level of our knowledge and understanding. And that's why in the realm of the spirit, just like in the biological demography, there are babies, there are adolescents, and then there are old men. And a letter can be written to a church, but to different people in the church. I write unto you, young men. He's not calling them young because they are from 18 to 30. He said, because you are strong. He's talking about strength in the word. Come on. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there is spiritual adolescence. I write unto you old, not because you have gray hair, but because you have known him who is from the beginning. That's a different type of age. Please, are you following? Yes, sir. So, just like in your schools, the communication is different. In the realm of the spirit too, it depends on your class. And not only is the communication dependent on class, the assignments are dependent on class. So now, someone in primary 5 claims he's studying mathematics, he's doing mathematics. And someone is doing mathematics at a PhD level. When you see the test questions, it's not the same, but it's the same subject. To whom much is given, much is also what? That's a spiritual law. So the tax that God will give you, and even the temptations he will allow you face, will be consistent with the strength that you have been able to build. For he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. Amen, somebody. There is a school of the spirit. And so, I said all of that to say this. You know, you have to be development conscious. You have to be ready to do more, to do better. And be honest about where you are, your level is in the scale of spiritual preference. Where is your level? In this generation, we all like to pretend we are there, but we are not all there. We don't have the same level of understanding, the same level of spiritual maturity, the same level of spiritual exposure. And guess what? It's not even a bad thing. It's something to be honest about. When we are talking about prayer, some of us need to pray better. And guess what? Some of us don't have a prayer life at all. We like to pretend we do. Are you ready to help me talk to the person by your side again? Whisper it this time. Say, hey, I'm not going to tell anybody, but I know you should be praying better. We like to pretend that we do. And honesty is so scarce, even in the church. Some of us would rather die than tell the truth. But listen, you can't improve until you are honest. That when the disciples see Jesus praying, they had been praying before. John taught them to pray. But they say, teach us, sir. We thought we knew, but we don't know. Teach us to pray. That's some honesty, don't you think? It takes honesty to recognize where you are. Acknowledge it so that you can improve. Because there is progress in the faith. You can do better. And psychologically, the urgency to do better will reduce when you don't acknowledge that you need to do better. As you are deceiving other people, you are deceiving yourself also. You can tell a lie so consistently that you also begin to believe it. You have lied to us that your spiritual life is as it should be, and now you also have believed it. So this month, be honest with yourself that this is epileptic prayer supply. That's what you are going through. Your prayer life is like NEPA. Very unreliable. When God says, I sought for a man, you know they look for you anymore. You are not there. And here's the good thing. Are you ready for this? God doesn't discriminate against beginners. Oh my God. That's good news. He discriminates against hypocrites, but not against beginners. If you try to walk on water and you sink, he's going to catch you. He's going to catch you. He doesn't discriminate against beginners. In fact, I was just meditating on this. Think about it. The disciples went to pray with Jesus. First and foremost, how special is that? I can never get over the privilege of the incarnation. God took on flesh. And as Message Bible translation says, he moved into the neighborhood. Once upon a time, people could point at Jesus' house. That's where he lives. He had a physical address. And then they went to pray with Jesus. Think about that. Bro, where are you going? I'm going for a prayer meeting. Jesus. What? And so they went with Jesus to pray. And they slept. See, if you think you have a lot to learn about prayer, be encouraged. Be encouraged. It takes a lot to sleep when you're praying with Jesus. Not just when you're praying with Jesus, but at a time he really needed you to pray with him. He saw their sleep as something personal they did to him. Couldn't you watch with me at this time? But guess what? Jesus is praying with these guys. He goes steps further to pray alone. He comes back and he finds them sleeping. And what does he do? He doesn't rain fire and brimstone. He just taps them. He wakes them up and encourages them. That's your Jesus. And he encourages them. Come on, you can do 1 hour. Come on. You can watch with me 1 hour. Come on. And he leaves them and he goes back. Let me tell you something. Many top men of God won't even do that. Just imagine going to pray with a top man of God. Then he comes back and finds you sleeping. What do you think will happen? He will tap you, but loud. He will tap you on the face. Pow! Well, maybe not. Well, maybe. But just, I'm learning from the approach of Jesus. Let me tell you something. We need stern sermons, but there is also an extreme of constantly trying to shame people into spiritual favor. You can't shame people into spiritual favor. Well, you can, but you shouldn't always. You shouldn't always. Jesus' approach was calm. Come on, are you with me? You know, sometimes when we begin to brag about our personal devotion, the only thing we achieve is to discourage the people even more. They now look at you that, I knew you were spirit. I knew you were spirit. But Jesus' approach, just imagine you had prophetic gifts and you sit on a well and a woman who has 5 husbands tells you that she doesn't have a husband. What will you say? Some of you say you are toiling with grace. If you toil with grace, you face disgrace. You know, but just think about it. You know, in fact, Jesus' response, I'm just like, sir. He said, well, understandably, you can say you don't have a husband because you've been married 5 times. The person you're with is not your husband. So I understand why you will say you don't have a husband. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we think it is holiness to be strict, to say liar. You do understand? And he would be wrong. Come on, are you with me? Yes, sometimes we are particular about exalting ourselves than building people. Let's call a spade a spade. We hide under the guise of challenging people to pray more, but it also makes us feel good to tell the people they are not there. Do you know how I pray? And you're always talking about how many hours you have put in personally. And you don't see that in the Bible. You don't see that in the Bible. Praise the Lord. There is another extreme also of people not wanting to hear the truth. When you are a member of the Galatian church and you are being bewitched, Paul needs to ask you, who bewitched you? Who gave you sweets to lick? So there is space for that. Hallelujah. But at the same time, we can be more accommodating. Amen, somebody? Amen. He just tapped them. Hey. 3 times they do that. 3 times. And he's empathetic. He's understanding. But listen, the fact that Jesus is understanding doesn't protect you from the consequences of prayerlessness. He said the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He said, but if you don't pray, you will fall into temptation. You will. But I said all of that to say that Jesus doesn't discriminate. He doesn't. As long as you are honest and you're ready to put in the work. So now, you are a member of this church. Very likely you joined recently. You don't have a prayer life. Listen, oh my God. When you hear sermons like this, you are too embarrassed to own up to the fact that you are struggling. And the Bible's approach is so encouraging. First and foremost, he tells you that men of God have the same struggle as you. Did I not tell you that Peter, James, and John were praying with Jesus and slept? I love the Bible. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons I knew as a growing believer that this must be the word of God is that they didn't hide the frailties of the men therein.
When Peter slept, he told you he slept. Come on, are you with me? Oh, that's encouraging. It says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as you are. He could also be tired. Sometimes I don't feel like praying. There is no man of God who doesn't have those moments. In fact, ironically, it is after protracted seasons of prayer that you experience that. So, I mean, I don't know where we learned this in this generation, where men of God hide their vulnerabilities and all of that. When the Bible even says you don't have a high priest who is not touched by the feelings of your infirmity. So I think it will encourage you to know that everyone who has a prayer life has moments where they don't feel like praying. But they push past it nonetheless. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, but he prayed. Listen, that but is very important. When you understand that but, the significance of it, then you are beginning to understand what it takes to build a prayer life. So the difference is you succumb to your feelings, but they pushed past it. Gethsemane was not the last time. Oh. In Acts chapter 10, Peter was praying and he slept off. In fact, the spirit realm had to now create an avenue to talk to him despite his weakness. So they started walking through trance. And he used something that he could relate to very well to talk to him, to teach him spiritual things, food. So what did he dream about? Answer me now. Maybe. You know, so I just see that and it's encouraging. Hallelujah. The subject to like passions as we are, but they prayed. But they prayed. Hallelujah. So you can push past it. I understand, but you must push past it. So, how do I start? What do I need to know? Here is the first thing that you must know. If you want to build a prayer life, number one, learn to pray heartfelt prayers. Learn to pray what? Oh my God. And just to save you from the theological jargon and the Greek terminologies and all of that, and all the things that the lexicon have to say about that, I simply mean that when you pray, you must mean what you say. Don't be indifferent. In your prayer, there must be an investment of your emotions. Many times it will show in your posture. It will show in your posture. Not all the time, but many times. When you see the Bible say that Jesus in Gethsemane, he fell to the ground. That's posture. Anything that you're emotional about will influence your posture. It's normal. When you hear news, it will show in your posture, good or bad. It's normal. And some of you, you know, you embrace it in every other aspect of your life, expect spiritual things, except spiritual things. The spiritual things you make all the excuses for. You say, he's not by that. Meanwhile, the same you, when you are arguing, they try to get you to reduce your voice and they can't. You are shouting. And they say, reduce your voice. He says, that's how I talk. But when it's time to pray, you get secretive. Why? Hallelujah. James 5:16b. The heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. And here is something you should know about heartfelt. You know, I studied my prayer life and I discovered usually when I'm shouting, I'm making decrees or I'm stirring myself up, when I'm talking to the Lord, I'm praying heartfelt prayers, but heartfelt prayers don't have to be loud. Hannah's voice wasn't heard, but what she prayed was heartfelt.
Come on, you get what I'm saying?
Hey, my God. Sometimes you pray till you get to a point and you are not as loud as before, but the prayer is even deeper. Some of you know what I'm saying. The prayer is even deeper. So listen, heartfelt is heartfelt. Sometimes it's a thing of the heart. It's not drama. When it gets to a point where the thing begins to really touch you, as a principle, any prayer that doesn't touch you can't change you.
Are you listening to me?
Uh-huh. If it does not touch you, it can't change you. This is school of prayer, right? I want us to demonstrate. So who wants to volunteer? No, not okay, not you now. Who wants to volunteer? Thank you. Come. Give her a microphone quickly. So, first and foremost, I want you to pray just surface prayer. Pray like you and God are guys now. Huh? No. In English. Just in English so that people can participate and understand what you're saying. Just pray normal and listen.
Thank you for today. Thank you for gift of life. Thank you for breath of life, Father. Thank you.
You are so deep, you can't even fake. That one, what you do, you even bless me, sir. So, all right. So now, pray a heartfelt prayer. Okay, pray it. You know what? I want you to thank God in your understanding, in a heartfelt way.
Father, I thank you. Thank you, Daddy, for your spirit at work in me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because through me, you do the impossible. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your hand in my life. Thank you because you are raising a giant through me. Shata
kabrote. Hallelujah. It's powerful, right? Put your hands together for her. Who else? I want someone else. You can't get it wrong. Just do it. So pray a heartfelt prayer. Just a heartfelt prayer. So the principle is just mean what you are saying. Right? Go ahead.
In Jesus' name, I thank you for my life. I thank you for what you brought me today. Thank you for the opportunity to stand before you people today. Thank you for giving me the grace to be where I am today.
All right. Good. But make it more heartfelt now. Like, God just did something for you. And you're like, for me, Lord, you did that for me. So,
like calling me out.
Yeah, I'm calling you out, right?
I said, like calling me out today.
Oh, like calling you out today. All right. So go ahead.
Father, thank you.
Imagine you were going to pray that prayer. Sometimes you start with a sigh.
Dear God, thank you.
You see the difference? Try that now. I'm not teaching you to pray in a particular way. Do you understand? Heartfelt means different things to different people. But when you do it, we will know. If someone you love is in trouble, it will show on your face. Has it ever happened to you? We're trying to hide it. How are you? I'm fine. They say, you are not fine. You are not fine. That's when a matter touches your heart. You get that? You want to try one more time? Go ahead. That's this one. They call this Hannah prayer. This is how Hannah prayed. Thank you. Thank you very much. Put your hands together for him. What's going on? Okay. Oh, Nasa. Oh. All right. Don't put him under more pressure.
Boy, you're the one. Boy. Father. All right, let's hear you pray.
Father, I thank you. Because you are life in me. You're the air that I breathe. In you I live. In you I move. In you I have my being. You're my very essence. All that I am is you, Lord. I look at where you brought me from. I swear, Lord. Lord is you. You're the one who wills in me. You're my desire. My very essence. You're my zeal, my passion. You're the one that I've set my gaze upon. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. It was me you died for. It was me you laid it all out for.
Hallelujah.
For me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Take a few seconds. Pray a heartfelt prayer right now. Everybody. Pray a heartfelt prayer.
Thank you.
Pray a heartfelt prayer. Oh. Mean what you say. A heartfelt prayer is a prayer from the Spirit. It's from inside. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A lot of us need to learn how to pray heartfelt prayers. We do. Let me give you another example of a heartfelt connection. When you begin to date someone, but you want to keep it a secret, you've told your pastor, you've told some key people, but you don't want it to be public yet. But people see the way you people are doing and they say, you are seeing each other. They say, no, I just friend. You are seeing each other. That's heartfelt. Come on, are you with me? And here is the precarious situation. It's precarious that we have heartfelt connections in other things besides spiritual things. So that investment of the emotion is something to grow into. You must learn it. So that like you, when the disciples see you pray, they want what you have. Are you getting what I'm saying? They want what you have. Like, people see your devotion and they want it. Here are a few ways that you can build a heartfelt prayer life. Number one, learn to meditate on the scriptures. I believe, you see, and that's why sometimes it's good to warm your heart with the word of God before you pray. Just before you pray, study the Bible. Some of you know what I'm saying. If you pray after you've studied, it has a different effect.
And both have a symbiotic relationship, because if you study after you pray, it has a different effect too. You know, but if you pray after studying, it looks like you cultivated the ground of your heart. You have given your mind something to focus on. Let me tell you something. Do you know, Jesus, are you ready for this? The greatest harm of social media is not even addiction. The greatest harm of social media is that a generation has lost the ability to lock their focus on something for long. Just the fact that because you have a social media addiction, no matter how deep a thought is, you must interrupt that thought every few minutes to touch your phone. That's a big problem. It's an attack on your prayer life. What I'm explaining can reduce the miraculous in an entire generation. Because let me tell you something. To touch anything deep spiritually, you must be able to put your hands on it in the spirit and hold on tenaciously. We have a generation that cannot mourn. Because listen, for instance, I won't ask you to raise your hand if it has happened to you. That something very serious was happening, and you were worried, or at least so you thought, but you still wanted to check what was happening online. It felt like, in fact, you can be crying and be scrolling. You are losing something of great spiritual benefit, the ability to focus. We must bring back the days of Moses where you can go up a mountain 40 days to intercede for people. 40 days. Many days. Many hours. And just one thing is on your mind. Let me tell you something. You dilute your prayer time if your prayer is not heartfelt. You can pray 10 hours and someone will achieve more results with 1 hour prayer. Because in those 10 hours, your mind was traveling. You have toured all the countries in the world. Prayer has like a laser focus. Come on, now you get what I'm saying. You must be able to zero into one thing. If you don't learn what I'm saying, my God. Try it. You might have prayed 6 hours before, but the next time you do 1 hour, be determined not to think about anything else. Just try that. So that's when some of you will discover, my God, how difficult that has become for you. That all I want, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass over. Listen, and for 1 hour, that's the only thing on your mind. It consumes you. I'm giving you an assignment to practice that. Come on, are you with me? And you can do that by meditating on the Word of God, you know, thinking on the Word of God, putting away distractions. Your prayer cannot be heartfelt with distractions. It ain't going to work. So there is a type of fast that this generation needs to have. You fast away from your phone. You know, you put it away. Put aside distractions. Amen. And then the next thing I want to talk about, the Bible says, it doesn't just say heartfelt, it says continued. So now you have to learn to pray long. I know it's going to be a journey, but it's a spiritual phenomenon. It's not just something that extra religious people do. In the Bible, there are too many examples to be ignored. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, let me tell you something. That means that prayer meeting was not an hour. It was not 2 hours. It's not 3 hours. He wouldn't have said they ministered to the Lord and fasted except the meeting lasted at least 6 hours. Come on, are you with me? If he says they fasted, it means the meeting was long. And so, you see it littered through the Bible. The text I just quoted is Acts 13. In Acts 12, there was a long prayer too. Peter had been arrested and they prayed until Peter literally knocked on the door. This prayer has no schedule. What, you know, it's okay when you say I'm praying 2 hours. But this one, you pray until something happens. Listen, start building your muscle for that. I'm no prophet of doom to tell you you will need it one day. But this is the idea. When you go to a gym, no matter what you carry, you are not fit until you come the next day and the day after that. For you to be fit, there must be consistency. Prayer follows that same principle. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So he says heartfelt, continue. Listen, prayer must be a lifestyle. You are not praying until you pray without ceasing. It must be a lifestyle. I'm glad you have prayed 3 stretch days before. But after that, you went into spiritual oblivion. We have been looking for you ever since. All you have is the relics of spiritual experiences. That I've prayed 48 hours before. But it's been 10 years now. Ever since. And this is the danger, you know, of challenging people and just throwing out numbers like that. Subconsciously, when you are praying, there is a mark you want to. It's bragging rights you're looking for. It's bragging rights you're looking for. So that you'll be able to talk. And psychologically, when you hit that mark, you're not going there again. You have it in your report card just to show people so that you say, henceforth, let no man trouble me. It's prayer, I've done it before. Say something else. But it's a lifestyle. Come on, are you with me? If you want to walk in the glory of God, there are some things you must do consistently, not once in a while. You must live there. I have more respect for someone who prays regularly than someone who prays long once in a while. And in fact, such a person, you see, these things can be explained. Thank God this is school of prayer. All right? So, there's something Papa Hagin calls praying down the glory. Are you with me? Yes, for some of you, you have been so far that it will take you 3 days to get there. It is by the third day that you will begin to smell the fragrance of the most holy place. But here is the thing. Once you hit that ember, Kenneth Hagin taught, and I believe experientially, that it will not be as difficult to maintain that level. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he said, at first it might take you 3 days. The next time, if the next time is not long from the first time, it will take you 2 days. And after a while, 1 hour. One day, then it got to a point. He said it got to a point he could hit it every 30 minutes. And he explained how we had the structure. In fact, apart from after fasting consistently, he began to have a fasted life. There is the infrastructure for it. Hallelujah. Come on, I get what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, someone who has hit that ember and has stayed there can with 30 minutes achieve more than someone who does 10 hours once every 3 months. The consistency is important. We're talking about building a prayer life. Let your first aim be consistency. Before length, consistency. And when you are setting goals, set realistic goals. Just say, you know what? I am going to pray 15 minutes. For some of you, that's a miracle. You know, when I say things like this, we like to laugh as if I'm talking to the person by your side. You set your alarm clock. All right? What time every day will you pray? Let me tell you the truth. When I was learning many years ago, I did 15 minutes. I can tell you how I was doing it. First 5 minutes for Thanksgiving. Second 5 minutes, middle 5 minutes, you know, to stir myself up in tongues. Imagine, stir myself up 5 minutes. And then the last 5 minutes to pray for people, intercession. But oh my God, after 1 week, the first thing I noticed was 15 minutes will be over and I will continue. And then the second thing I noticed, praying every day, it hits different. Yes, sir. The environment inside was different. It was different. I dare you to try. All right? And then here is another thing. After a while, you do 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening. After a while, you increase it to 20 minutes, morning, evening. Then after a while, you do morning, evening, afternoon. 20 minutes. Before you know it, you're praying a whole 1 hour every day, which is a total miracle for some of you. Try it 2 weeks and see. And now, I want to give another principle that can help you. Listen, this one is so important. When all else fails, this one will not fail. Are you ready for it? Turn the Bibles quickly. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24. Oh, this is so powerful. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24. Never forget this. This principle is so important. Let it be your go-to principle when you are struggling. When you don't know what to do anymore. Or you just enter into a difficult season. Your prayer life is attacked and you're not praying. This is what the Bible says. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Everybody, Hebrews 10, 24, read together loud as you can, one, two, go. Oh my God, listen. Someone else's spiritual favor can provoke you. Just like a jumpstart cable. It's a thing in the realm of the spirits. If your vehicle is not working, someone can jumpstart you. That when the disciples see Jesus praying, they want to pray. They want to learn about prayer. They want to know this thing. When Peter sees Jesus walking on water, he wonders, what have I been doing with my life? Has it happened to you before that you saw someone? You know, so now here is what you can do. Create an environment of constant positive provocation. You know what I believe? This is the most important thing that you can do in your walk with God. The most important. That's why God doesn't want us to be alone. His strategy is for a body edifying one another. This is very important. Amen, somebody. Amen. This is so important. Provoke one another. So listen, every day I must see something that encourages me in my spiritual walk. So I make sure I listen to a sermon or I read the book. Even if I am praying and I'm studying, if I have not created an environment, I'm in trouble. Are you listening to me? So even if it is coming to church, this is where coming to church becomes important. In fact, the next verse proves it. All right? What does the next verse say? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some. So one of the major reasons coming to church is powerful is that the person praying by your side does something to you. You may not even know. You may not even know. As it happened, for instance, something happens in church and maybe you want to appreciate someone who made a presentation, and then or in any conference, and someone starts clapping, and as a ripple effect, everybody starts clapping. Has it happened to you before? You are more impressionable than you realize. Those days, I used to do it on purpose. I would go to a part of the audience that was not active. And even if the person who is leading praise is not really in the spirit, I will just dance. It worked all the time. When you are not Satan's cousin. The people by my side will just start, you know, before you know it, a ripple effect. Let me tell you something. Oh my God. That's why he says, is anyone overtaken in a fault? Ye which are spiritual, restore. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So listen, learn to feed off the energy of other people. Learn to do that. Let their walk with God bless you. Learn to do that. Come on, are you listening to me? So you do that even when you are not praying. Just play worship. Play worship. Learn to play worship songs more. Learn to play sermons more. Sometimes let it just saturate the atmosphere. Walk around, do chores, do whatever you're doing. You're cooking in the kitchen. Let something be playing. Has it happened to you that you were playing something for a long time and it was just in the background, but all of a sudden you start paying attention to it and it stirs you up? I'm giving you a science so that you can make it predictable. You can see more of it. So every new month, and then you know playlists expire. Isn't that true? So consciously recreate the playlist. Make sure that it's always stirring. And just put it on repeat. You know, there's a science to these things. Has it ever happened that you wanted to sleep and sleep was not coming? What did you do? Close your eye. Stay still. That's how it works in the realm of the spirit too. Hey, my God. Let me tell you something. You can wake yourself out of spiritual mediocrity. I'm telling you. In the morning, just on purpose, say, ha, thank you, Jesus. I'm alive. I'm alive in you. Hey, Mataria. You don't feel it, oh. Practice what I'm saying. You don't feel it. I'm alive. I'm alive. Thank you, Lord. Hey, there's fire on my altar. Fire on my altar. Fire on my altar. I dare you to do that for 5 minutes and be normal. I dare you. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a science to this thing. A method to the message. Heartfelt. Every morning. In fact, let me put it this way. Animate it. Every morning. Make it a principle that you will start your day like that every morning. Glory! Woo! Glory! Woo! I'm full of life, full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, bouncing in His glory, ready to do ministry today, ready to talk about Jesus, ready, ready, glory! Great is the glory of God in my life. Great is the glory of God in my life. You think you'll do that and then say, I'm so dull. I don't know. It can't. You can chase away. Do you understand what I'm saying? Chase it away. Heartfelt. Number two, consistency, right? So now do it every day. It takes childlikeness. Just fool yourself. Every morning, do that. Bounce, you know, and bask in the glory of God. Boast about the glory of God. praise God excitedly every day. Set a realistic goal. For some of you, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. All right? If you want to start praying 2 hours, you can break it. Even Jesus did it. He prayed 3 times. Come on, are you with me? And number 3 is what? So you see, there are some sermons that cannot be playing in the background and you'll be dull. It will chase all the demons in your house. Number 4 and the final one. Religious people will despise this, but it will change your life. Let me ask you this. Which is more powerful, prayer or singing? Now, some of you are laughing because you think it's a ridiculous question, but subconsciously, a lot of people think prayer is more powerful. Am I saying the truth or not? So if you are singing, they say, okay, when are we praying? Yes or yes. And listen, prayer is important. But think about it. What we sing can be a prayer. And many songs are prayers. But somehow, subconsciously, because there's a melody in it, we despise it. Meanwhile, you can use songs to lure yourself into the place of prayer. If you are struggling to pray it, sing it. Oh Lord, you are good. And your mercy endure forever. Sing it. Sing it. Let me tell you something. If you are struggling so much, get songs that have lyrics consistent with what you want to pray. Play them back to back and sing them out. Concentrate though. On purpose, I personally don't choose songs for those moments. Songs that have too much instrumentation. I might be distracted. Hear what that bass did there. I don't do that. Do you understand? So I have a very weird playlist. So some of my songs are even hymns, old hymns. Some of them are just instrumentals. And then some of them, of course, apostolos. You know. So and just do that and flow. Sing along. And then when you are done singing, then pray. If you do these 4 things, I believe you will see more results. And in all this doing, you must be particular about the time. Be religious about it. Notice is when you began to make excuses and say, it's not about the time. It's not about the time. That's when your prayer life started dropping. When you were growing and you say, can you remember those days? If you don't pray in the morning, to feel like your salvation is gone. You had more results then. Oh. Your prayer was more consistent then. But now, you are deep now. Have a prayer time. Stick to it. And then build from there. Did you learn anything? Can I give you one last one? This one is actually under an environment. But let me make it a separate one. Prayer partner. Prayer partner. Prayer partner. Listen, we must create a system of accountability in church where if someone is struggling in their prayer life, they can tell us, sir, I don't know what is, I'm under attack. I'm to pray like this. Ha! This is all I need. I will buy credit for you. I will buy credit for you. Just 5 minutes. Help my destiny. So, especially if you are struggling, immediately after this service, go and meet someone. So, even if you are not struggling, but you just want to do better, say, can we do that? It's a good idea. All right?
guys to guys, girls to girls. Because some of you, I know, you see, I've caught you. So you want to make sure that it is God both of you are talking to. Yeah. Do you understand? If you want toast well, don't use God. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to me? Let me give you one last one and then we go, all right? How many have I given you now? Six. Number six. Triumph 30 devotional. Oh, yes. Listen, I'm serious. Just the fact that you can connect and hear people lead you in a time of prayer. Just connect religiously 3 times a day. 6 a.m., 12 noon, 8 p.m. If you are up in the night, when the devil wants to give you, you know, stupid things to think about, just connect 2 a.m. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've created and curated this structure to help you. All right? So download the app if you don't have it now and then tune in. If you have Bible reading plan, if you have written devotional and 4 prayer times, just tune in. It's a good place to start and a good place, good way to make sure that you keep the structure. Hallelujah. Were you blessed? Did you learn anything? Please stand to your feet. Zapale kon sepaya. Just stir yourself up for a few minutes. Time is fast spent. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In manakaya sopatal in the lekapates, kemenendo shepeleta pad f kronze pelete kapa. Zetele mandele kashe teke pai, gasom brete ke pai, konshe lembrete ke pai, konse pai, ronse prete ki pokushete, rendele pokushete giba kasonge, bratongrese ke pakashete ke pele.